Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. And today is Thursday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we try to apply and live out what we've been learning this week. And this week we've been studying a story where Paul, one of the early Christian communicators, met some philosophers in the city of Athens in Greece and kind of put his foot in his mouth, said some things they really didn't understand because of their background in philosophy and in idol worship of many gods. But thankfully they gave him a chance to redeem himself, and yesterday we saw what he had to say when he was brought to the Areopagus, a great public square like this, an opportunity to be heard by many of the intellectual elite who would have gathered there day in, day out to debate ideas and philosophize. What he did is he talked about the story of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus, in terms that they would understand as philosophers and as intellectuals. He really used their language and their ideas and didn't start from a Jewish starting point like he was used to or like he did himself. So he communicated about God as the creator, that it was kind of vain to worship things God created when you could worship God himself. He talked about in very sort of vague terms, Jesus having died for us in order to give us this turning point in life, because history was at a turning point and that we were moving toward a judgment day when God would ask us to account for our lives and to say, do you want to represent yourself and try to prove that you were perfect and good and holy? Or do you want Jesus to represent you instead, who really is good and perfect and holy, and to take your place for any punishment that you deserve? That was his question. And that all went pretty well, I think, until he mentioned something about Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And then that said they all laughed. And I asked you yesterday to consider why they might have laughed. Why would they mock him, some of them anyway, while others went away pondering that and said, we want to hear from this guy again. I wish we knew for sure. I think there are a few options. One is that there really was a Jewish doctrine, particularly amongst the Pharisees, one particular school of thought within Judaism, about resurrection, about Jewish people coming back to life after their death and that being part of their faith, that there would be this resurrection someday when all those who died would be raised bodily. It's possible that the Greeks knew something about that, thought it was kind of silly, didn't think it was respectable, and that's why they laughed and mocked Paul when he said that. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that they just recognize resurrection to be something supernatural, something miraculous, and dismiss those kinds of ideas. Some of these philosophers may have been of a school of thought that just said those kinds of things don't happen. People who believe in that are naive, they're not very smart, certainly not as smart as us, and so they could just kind of dismiss those ideas and those who presented them. That's a little closer to the kind of people today who might mock Christianity, who might dismiss Christianity or other religions as being anti-intellectual. Maybe they just thought it was too simple, that life is complex and what Paul was talking about was just way too simplistic, it was too easy, and that these philosophers who were used to trying to develop and prove their intellect just really couldn't fathom a message that what really mattered was whether you were willing to just have Jesus represent you. These were people who used to representing themselves, used to speaking rhetorically, used to convincing people of their powerful truths. And here now, Paul is telling them, you know what, all that is worth nothing. You'll never be smart enough, good enough to earn anything from God. What really matters is whether you're smart enough to turn to Jesus to do that for you. Maybe these philosophers just didn't want to hear that their entire pursuit of intellect had been a waste. Maybe that's why they rejected it. Well, that good news about Jesus taking our place and representing us is actually really good news. It can be a bit challenging if you've built your entire life on your own intellectual prowess, but it's the gospel, the good news, that Paul presented to them there that day. And there's something really neat about it that I want you to notice. It's the words Paul uses to describe God. He says something about the God in whom we live and move and have our being, and you might wonder where that comes from. It's not originally from the Bible. It's from a poet. It's from a Greek poet. Paul has been paying such good attention. He didn't just notice the altars to all the different gods and the unknown God around him, but he was listening. He was reading. He knew what the Greek poets said, and he was able to use some of their imagery, like the God, you know, in whom we live and move and have our being. He was able to take that idea and apply it to God, the creator of the universe. He also did that with the line, we are indeed his offspring. That came from, he says, one of their poets. So he's using language they get, he's using language they love, images they love, to try to explain really complex, powerful truths and the very simple response that it calls for. All this time through this story, Paul has been paying attention to those he's trying to reach and connect with. He's been listening to their poets, he's been reading their poets, he's been watching and learning about their community as he travels through it. The reason he's doing that is he's trying to figure out what they're looking for. And he realizes they're looking for an unknown God. They have so many gods, none of them are good enough. They have so many philosophies about life, but none of them are good enough. They're looking for what's missing. They're looking for that one key to it all. And so he tells them that he knows who that is. It's Jesus Christ. That's the way Jesus was portrayed at the beginning of the Gospel of John, as the Logos, or the Word of life. The Logos was a Greek philosophical concept that said there was basically one thread, one word, tying everything in life together that made sense of it all, the key to it all. Paul might have had that in mind here when he told them that Jesus was the key to it all. Jesus was the unknown God, and that Jesus was the philosophy that made sense of life, finally. He was everything they were looking for. And he did that using language they understood and images they understood. And that's a great thing to do. It's what I try to do, right? Whenever I can, I try to tell you a story from the news, from culture, from my own life, to try to help you understand, to illustrate a point that comes from the Bible, which was a long time ago in a culture we may not understand. I want you to do it too. And that's your challenge for today. What song, poem, film, or other media would you use, would you quote, to a friend who asked you to describe God? Maybe you can write that down, or watch that, or read that again, and try to think about how you would describe God to somebody else using those words, those images, that art. Be a great exercise not just to do in your head, but to actually do for real, to invite somebody to watch that movie with you, to go to that art museum with you, to experience with you what it is that connects you to God. And then to very gently use that opportunity to just tell them, you know what, seeing this sunset always makes me thankful that God created this. Or, you know what, this immense, beautiful architecture, this beautiful church building always just draws my eyes upward and makes me think of how powerful God is. It could be that simple. Just pointing out that some piece of art or culture connects you to God. That's what I want you to do today. Figure out what that is for you. Share it with somebody you know. Well, anyway, have a great day. And I'll see you tomorrow as we take time to pray and reflect about this week's topic. Bye for now.